SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Number two of the morning after on Sports Grid. You're listening on Sirius XM Channel 204. With Ben Stevens, I'm Ariel Epstein. This hour, we are going to talk about how the futures market's moving in the NFL for the worst team in the NFL regular season this year. We're going to have two great guests, too. First, the Packers beat writer for The Athletic, Matt Schneidman, to talk about the updates on the Aaron Rodgers situation in Green Bay. And we're going to have our weekly guest on this Tuesday, a Trusted Capper Tuesday with Drew Martin Betts, giving us some Major League Baseball picks. Yesterday, there was some news in the NBA. A Woj bomb dropped on us in the middle of the Aaron Rodgers saga. How dare the NBA do this to us? It was a very annoying Woj bomb, to be honest. And not only was it an annoying Woj bomb because I was really frustrated that this had to drop in the middle of the Aaron Rodgers situation, it also left me confused with why the Memphis Grizzlies did this. The Grizzlies are finalizing a trade to send Jonas Valanciunas, their big man, and a number 17 and 51 pick to New Orleans for the center Steven Adams and for Eric Bledsoe, 2021 picks number 10 and 40, and protected 2022 first round picks via the Lakers. Ben, who won this trade?
It's a very interesting trade, and what you brought up there is a point I think a lot of people around the association felt yesterday. Normally, when you see a trade like this at this point in the offseason, it's the worst team looking to add draft capital and taking on some big contracts, and the better team dishing off some money to clear up some cap space. In fact, it was a complete role reversal yesterday in this trade between the Pelicans and the Grizzlies, because the Grizzlies were a playoff team this past season. The Pelicans have finished 11th and 13th in the Western Conference in the past 2 years, yet it's the Grizzlies taking on heavier contracts to add draft capital, and it's the Pels clearing up draft space to look to the free agent market. So it's an interesting trade dynamic, and I think when you look at it from the players on paper, Jonas Valanciunas is the best player in this deal. He leaves the playoff team in Memphis to go to the New Orleans Pelicans. Steven Adams, a little bit of a reduction at that big man position, and Eric Bledsoe has not been great in his time in New Orleans and has a very hefty contract. But the biggest reason Memphis did this, Ariel, has to do with the NBA draft coming up in just 48 hours on Thursday. Memphis feels very strongly that they can add a huge piece to their already very young core to have their future look very, very bright for this Grizzlies franchise. Now they trade up into the lottery in a very heavy front-loaded draft with a lot of depth in this 2021 NBA draft selection pool. So they feel confident about somebody they can get within the top 10, and I think they wanted to be a part of that lottery equation. Also, you look to next year, and the Grizzlies will have three first-round selections in the 2022 NBA draft. So they're looking to the future to add to the likes of Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Xavier Tillman and Dylan Brooks. They want those young pieces in place, and that's why they were willing to dispose of Jonas Valanciunas.
Here's what's so shocking to me. Valanciunas is coming off one of the best seasons of his career, averaging just over 17 points per game. Meanwhile, this didn't move the needle at all. Both these teams in the NBA Finals race, which are the only odds up currently for the NBA season, both teams are at 85-1, the Pelicans and the Grizzlies. It didn't move at all. Those were the same odds posted initially, the same odds posted after the trade was announced. It doesn't matter in the eyes of the futures market. Welcome to our Sports Grid Radio audience. Second hour here on the morning after, Sirius XM Channel 204 and the Mighty Ears 90 from the West Coast. With Ben Stevens, I'm Ariel Epstein, talking about the Woj bomb that dropped on us yesterday, where the NBA had a trade go down between the Memphis Grizzlies and the New Orleans Pelicans. It does send the big man Jonas Valanciunas from Memphis over to the Pelicans, and Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe leaving the Pelicans, going over to the Grizzlies. This helps with cap space. Yet going back to what Valanciunas did for the Grizzlies this year, averaged 17 points per game, 12.5 rebounds, shooting a career best just over 59%. Ben, how do you see Valanciunas and Zion Williamson playing together.
Jonas Valanciunas was a very profitable man within the rebound prop market this past year in the NBA, a top three rebounder in the association. So you might think, how do you add that big man to clog things up with Zion down low? Well, I actually think it benefits the Pelicans a little bit more than having a guy like Steven Adams, because Jonas Valanciunas can stretch the floor a little bit, more comfortable playing on the ring, the wing, the free throw line extended, and has shown the ability at times to knock down the long ball as well, which frees up Zion a little bit more. Is Jonas Valanciunas going to the Pelicans by himself a huge deal for New Orleans that might have its sights set on making the playoffs this upcoming year? Not necessarily, but it does free up the cap space. And apparently, according to reports, the New Orleans Pelicans are hell-bent on signing Kyle Lowry from the Toronto Raptors. They now have the cap space to do so. They want to add that veteran presence in the guard and the backcourt nature to pair along the likes of Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Zion Williamson, their younger players. So they have the cap space now to make a run in free agency after some veteran guard they choose. Kyle Lowry has been the name floated, and you add Jonas Valanciunas, who is an improvement at the center position, to Steven Adams. So I guess it helps Zion a little bit, although on the optics on paper, not necessarily great adding another big man to the fold.
As for Adams, he was the most frustrating Pelicans player this year. Actually, him and Zion combined, which scares me for Valanciunas' numbers to start the 2022 season. However, Adams usually averages in double figures with a double-double, rebounds and points. And this year, it dipped to just under 8 points per game for Steven Adams. Rebounds were still pretty good, averaging about 9 rebounds per game. Coming up next, we're going to talk more about the Aaron Rodgers saga. He has arrived to training camp, and we're going to have the Athletic Green Bay Packers writer Matt Schneidman joining the show. You're listening here on SiriusXM Channel 204, the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here on the Morning After on Sports Grid, SiriusXM Channel 204. With Ben Stevens, I'm Ariel Epstein. As many of you know, Ben and I went to Syracuse, and there's nothing that we enjoy more than finding people in the new house mafia who do really important things in the sports media world. And the most important person, probably in Syracuse media this week, is Matt Schneidman of The Athletic, who covers the Green Bay Packers. It's been a busy week for you. Thanks for joining us this morning, Matt.
Thanks for having me, guys. I don't know about that. That's playing me up a little too much. I would say Aaron Rodgers is way more important, but I'm just happy to be here and covering it.
I wonder if Aaron Rodgers had the same saying when he showed up to training camp this morning. I'm just happy to be here. I want to get your thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers situation, because you got to watch it shift yesterday. It went from yesterday morning, the rumors about potential retirement. Then in the middle of the day, it switched to Aaron Rodgers is coming back to Green Bay. Where was that shift in the storylines?
Yeah, in talking to some people around the situation over the weekend, I really did not get the sense that him showing up was imminent. Obviously, it took a turn yesterday, and as Schefter reported, you know, the Packers were obviously willing to make a good amount of concessions to get him back in the building in terms of, you know, what his contract is changed to look like now. The freedoms he has after this season, at least from the outside, it looks like I am hesitant to use last dance because they've only won one championship in the time Rodgers has been here, but kind of a last dance kind of feel in that this could be the last year. But also, you know, apparently it at least seems that it's been left open to possibly mend this situation beyond just this year. So who really knows? It seems like it really did take a turn for the better, I guess, if you're a Packer fan yesterday, because we were at the shareholders meeting yesterday, and Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, they kept saying hopeful. They kept using the word hopeful, and I asked Mark Murphy why he was hopeful, and he didn't really give an answer. He just said, you know, constant communication, and training camp starts soon. So I guess he was right. Deadlines spur action, and today was the deadline for Packers veterans to report, and if Aaron Rodgers hadn't showed up today, he would have been fined $50,000. Yeah, he can afford it, but no one wants to just fork that over. So he's here, as you saw from the videos on Twitter this morning, and first practice is tomorrow morning.
I don't know, Matt. I would have to agree with Ariel that you are the most important Syracuse alum covering sports media this week. Take that, Mike Tirico and the Olympics. We have Matt Schneidman on the morning after right now. So, Matt, I think a lot of people from the outside look at this and they're trying to come to some conclusion. How would you sum this up from a Packers perspective and an Aaron Rodgers perspective now that he is back in Green Bay?
I would sum it up by saying the discontent between him and the front office and how they run things. And listen, I don't think this rift between the two sides, and it's those two sides. It's the front office and Aaron Rodgers. It's not teammates. It's not the coaching staff. It's not Matt LaFleur. I think it stems from more of a philosophical difference than any one or two personnel moves that were made. Yes, the Jordan Love pick obviously has a big part in this whole thing, but it's not necessarily the roster he's constructed around Aaron Rodgers. It's more so the philosophical side of things. So I would sum it up by saying I think the differences are still there, and I think the hard feelings might still be there from Aaron to the front office, but he's back to play for not only himself and his own personal benefit, but his teammates, his coaches, the fans that have supported him for the last 16, almost 17 years. And right now, I expect him to say when he talks to us this week that it's back to football. I don't expect him to elaborate too much on the situation. And listen, we know a slighted Aaron Rodgers is the best Aaron Rodgers. We saw that last season when he won MVP. So I would get those future bets in on Packers plus 1600, I think, to get the number one seed in the NFC.
Ooh, number one seed bet. See, the NFC Championship, it went from 7-1 with the thought of Rodgers potentially not playing to now plus 550, the second best odds behind the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Athletic Packers beat writer Matt Schneidman joining us. Now we're switching over to figuring out what's next for the Packers, because they were trying to sign the wide receiver Davante Adams to an extension. There was some rumors about Randall Cobb rejoining the team because that's who Aaron Rodgers wants with him. Where can you see the Packers looking to shift their focus to make Aaron Rodgers happy in 2022?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to trade for Randall Cobb. His salary is still a pretty big hit. I believe he has an $8 million cap hit this year, and the Packers aren't exactly in cap luxury right now. I think they've done enough already to please Aaron Rodgers in terms of his contract and the way it's structured. From what Schefter's report indicates, I don't think they need to bring in Randall Cobb. I mean, they drafted who they hope is the next Randall Cobb this year in Clemson slot receiver Amari Rodgers, who's actually really close with Randall Cobb because Amari Rodgers' dad, T. Martin, the former Tennessee quarterback, coached Randall Cobb at Kentucky, and Amari Rodgers and Randall Cobb are actually really close and have stayed close since then. To keep him happy beyond 2021, I should say, I think it's more of a cultural shift in the way things are done in the organization, and that's not going to get fixed this week. It's not going to get fixed in the next month. Might not get fixed this season, but it's more of a long-term thing. And what Rodgers might want is, you know, more say in how things are done around the building and more say in how moves are made. Should he get that power? Probably not. Will he? It's possible. If the front office caves more and really wants to keep him around for much longer. But yeah, I think it's more of a organizational philosophy and the way they do things around the building, culture-wise, and how the hierarchy is structured in the building that would probably get him to stay. And I know it's a cop-out answer. I don't know if that will change in the next year.
So, Matt, you mentioned the value the Packers might have in the futures market. Their team win total on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now is set at 10, the over heavily juiced to minus 150. So whether Aaron is slighted or feels happy to be back in Green Bay, what's the outlook for this Packers team this upcoming season?
Yeah, I keep saying like 10-6, 8-8, but there are 17 games this season. So I have to, you know, do that in my head. I would say, you know, I expect them to have similar success as the last two regular seasons. They've gone 13-3 in the regular season the last 2 years, playoff bye both years. Yeah, obviously they've fallen short of the Super Bowl, but I expect them to put up 12-13 wins again, 12-5, 13-4, maybe even 14-3. I mean, outside Aaron Rodgers, I know that's been all the focus. They have one of the elite rosters in the NFL. They have a really good secondary, really good trio of edge rushers, a Pro Bowl nose tackle. They have the best wide receiver, one of the best offensive lines. You know, Robert Tonyan, Aaron Jones, they have everything pretty much except an inside linebacker. So I would say there's a lot of value in Packers' futures, whatever it may be, because I think, you know, David Bakhtiari is the best offensive lineman in football, and I think if he was healthy for the NFC title game, they would have made the Super Bowl. He tore his ACL a couple weeks before that. So they have as good of a chance as anyone to make the Super Bowl with the guys they have in the building right now.
It's making that last stand the way that Tom Brady tried to do in New England. I get similar vibes, but only about a minute left. Matt, why did this deal take so long if all Aaron Rodgers wanted was a little bit of power?
Yeah, I think both sides, and this is just my hunch, were intent on standing their ground to see if the other side caved. All along, the Packers were never going to trade him. So ultimately, it was up to Aaron Rodgers whether he wanted to show up and put aside his feelings for the front office or sit out and cost himself money. And as I said, I think deadlines spur action. And Rodgers saw that the Packers were not budging. So it's possible his side reached out and said, all right, he'll show up. What do we got to do? Because I think Rodgers was really ready to sit out. That's the sense I got from talking to some people this past weekend. So it was clear the Packers were desperate to get him in the building. I don't think they're comfortable starting Jordan Love yet, even if he has a successful preseason. So that desperation kind of spurred action here, and they were willing to give up a little bit of ground in their stance. Not to trade him, but to give up a little bit of ground to get him back in the building.
Matt Schneidman, catch him at Matt Schneidman on Twitter and all over The Athletic covering the Packers this season. Matt, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Matt Schneidman, make sure to catch him on social media because he's going to have all the updates. Aaron Rodgers looked pretty at peace walking into practice today. NFL Market Movers coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back on The Morning After on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204. With Ben Stevens, I'm Ariel Epstein. It's time to take a look at how the futures market's moving. It's time for Market Movers. This one's a fun one. This is about the odds and how they've shifted for the odds for the worst regular season team in the NFL this season. The team with the worst or with the best odds to be the worst team is the Texans at plus 200. It was plus 250 back on May 12th, and now it's moved about 50 cents in favor of Houston. As for the Lions, it was at plus 350, and now it's at 4-1. The Jets were at plus 850, and it's now 10-1. There's a bunch of other teams that are in this mix. If you're watching on MSG or on our streaming services, you can see them. I don't really feel like reading through all of them. But, Ben, which one stands out to you?
It's got to be the Texans, right? That's so tough. You look at all of these teams here, the rest of the seven that are listed, everybody's odds have stayed the same or gotten even longer. Only the Texans to have the worst record in the NFL has gotten a little bit shorter, from plus 250 to plus 200. Ah, Houston, we have many problems. Pun very much intended. The Texans are going to struggle this year with or without Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, talent-wise, is a wonderful quarterback, but there are so many issues surrounding Deshaun Watson currently speaking, whether it be his trade demands that he wants to leave Houston and the Texans organization now listening to those, or the legal issues that Deshaun Watson faces off of the field. 22 civil lawsuits being filed against Deshaun Watson right now. Two criminal cases being investigated by the Houston Police Department. The NFL doing their own internal investigation. This could be a very long and drawn out legal process. Deshaun Watson, at least according to court records right now, if he decides not to settle any of the civil suits currently being filed against him, won't even be deposed until February of 2022, which means that the NFL, which has shown time and again, they let the legal process play out in the court before making their own stance be known. This could be a process that would not keep Deshaun Watson off the field for the time being. But even if that is the case, there is so much wrong with Houston outside of Deshaun Watson. I don't really think it makes much of a difference when you look at their prospects for this 2021 season. The lowest team win total on the FanDuel Sportsbook currently, it's posted at 4. Ariel, what do I always say?
It's juice to the over.
It's juice to the over, though, for the Texans,
optimism.
Minus 125. I mean, hey, that's at least a little bit of hope, a little bit of a silver lining for a team win total of 4. But I really think that that really jumps off the page to be the only team out of the 8 we have listed here in this market mover segment from the FanDuel Sportsbook to have shorter odds right now than they did earlier on in May to have the worst record in the National Football League this season.
I'm going to try to find some value in this market. I'm looking to the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Philadelphia Eagles. I could see either of those teams having the worst record in the NFL. The Texans are going to be the team because their Pro Bowl quarterback isn't going to potentially be there in Deshaun Watson, that everyone's going to look to fade Tyrod Taylor. Although there's not a lot of pieces to work with in Houston, there aren't a lot of pieces to work with Philly either. Jacksonville is really young. They have a new head coach, a new quarterback, a new running back, completely new system. The Eagles have no offensive line. They're switching quarterbacks. I'm concerned for both those teams. I could see the Jaguars, who are currently at 13-1. Odds moved against them 12-1 to 13-1. The Eagles 13-1 moved to 15-1. There's good value on both those teams to have the worst record in the National Football League. And that's where I would shift my attention. I could see the Texans, although not having a great season, I could see Tyrod Taylor turning a few heads. He was the player to stop the winless or the playoff drought for the Buffalo Bills, Ben.
What an incredible situation that Tyrod Taylor has been in without his NFL career. When you look at all the stops that he has made, he was supposed to be the starting quarterback in Cleveland. They draft Baker Mayfield. He wasn't going to play in his rookie year. Sure enough, he takes over, bumps Tyrod Taylor out of a job. Also, by the way, Tyrod or Tyrod, he doesn't care. I don't know what, if we need to establish something on the show. I think we could probably go with both. Then you think of last year for the LA Chargers. Tyrod Taylor is supposed to be the guy. He gets punctured in the lung by his own medical staff. Justin Herbert takes over, goes on to win Rookie of the Year offensively in the NFL this past season. And now, in the weirdest situation possibly of his career, a new head coach in David Culley, where you have Deshaun Watson there, but he's kind of not there. And is it your team? Are you taking over those offensive meetings? A very interesting situation. But I love what you said there about the value within this worst record in the NFL market, because it is with the Jacksonville Jaguars at plus 1,300. I have made my case and my thoughts on Jacksonville very, very clear on this show. Urban Meyer will not have success as a head coach in the NFL. I love Trevor Lawrence. I think he will be a dynamic quarterback who has a very long and successful NFL career. I don't think a lot of that will be under Urban Meyer with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their team total is posted at 6.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And unlike what I like to say normally to provide some hope and optimism, the under has the juice at minus 125. I would lean with the under of Jacksonville. Sure, Trevor Lawrence is there. Sure, they drafted Travis Etienne, although I do not think that was a great value selection at the end of the first round. We're talking about a team that was 1-15 last year. 1-15, and they won week number one. 15 straight losses for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't care, it's a 17-game schedule. It's going to be a 4-13 year, a 5-12 year for Jacksonville, in my estimation, despite how good Trevor Lawrence might look in certain spots throughout his rookie campaign within the NFL. So I think when you're looking at a record overall, plus 1,300 is a great way to look and find value on the Jacksonville Jaguars, which goes to show, Ariel, by the way, the AFC South is going to be straight booty this year. I mean, they are really going to suck outside of those top two teams, the Colts and the Titans battling for that top spot. But thankfully for them, it's really going to be a head-to-head matchup. Whoever wins those two battles between the Titans and the Colts will win the AFC South, because it's really not going to matter what the Jags or the Texans do at the bottom half of that division.
That's the thing, though. There are certain times where those matchups could be the difference in a win total, just because they could look, let's just say, the Titans or the Colts are up against Houston or Jacksonville. They could say, oh, a look-ahead spot, and end up losing, or at least not covering one of those spreads. It could be a win for one of those worst teams. However, it's not going to play a factor. Those two are the best two teams in the division, and I could see the Jaguars and the Texans finishing at the bottom of not only the division, at the bottom of the NFL. And there is value in this market. These are the teams that have the top odds to have the worst record in the NFL. The Raiders aren't in the mix to me. I can see the Raiders improving this year. In fact, I'm a little surprised we haven't heard more about the quarterback for the Raiders, Derek Carr, and how maybe he wouldn't be back with the team, but it looks as if there's not much interest in him. And then you have the Eagles, who I just continue to stare at. They're in the NFC East. It's one of the worst divisions in football. It was the worst division in football last year. They haven't done anything to improve this year. They're going to have a quarterback who was a rookie last season, who only started at the end of the year. Then you have an offensive line who was the worst offensive line in all of football. Your wide receivers continue to get hurt. Oh, and you used to have a pretty scary defense, and all of a sudden that doesn't work either. So the Eagles are the team that's been the real disappointment. Now here's where things could change for Philly. How interested are they in Deshaun Watson? I know that mid-major Matt is a big Philly sports fan. He said he'd be extremely disappointed as an Eagles fan if they didn't make a push for Deshaun Watson. Ben, how could you see Deshaun Watson throwing a wrench in things in this market to be the worst team in the NFL?
Well, if he leaves Houston and that is confirmed, they might be minus money by the time things are all said and done for the worst record in the NFL. And if he goes somewhere like a Philadelphia, and those rumors have started to spark because of the reports yesterday, the Texans are now finally interested in hearing from other teams and are listening to other offers about Deshaun Watson. That if he went to somewhere like Philadelphia, yes, I think that's an improvement certainly over Jalen Hurts, although I still have some optimism when it comes to Jalen Hurts. It would just be, again, more so the situation of what Deshaun Watson offers with all the uncertainties about his off-the-field issues and what exactly his playing time will look like based on what the NFL might rule if and when they decide to for this 2021 season. He is not currently on any exempt list. Could he be placed on that by the time we get to September? That still remains to be seen at this moment. But it would also be Deshaun Watson in a completely new environment with a new head coach, Nick Sirianni, that wants to run an offense unlike Deshaun has ever seen. So that's where a little bit of the hesitation might be still if he wanted to back the Eagles and think they would get substantially better with Deshaun Watson. I'm not sure that would be the case. Would they be a couple of games better? Absolutely. Would they probably not be involved so much in the worst record in the NFL market? Sure. But I don't know how much they would move out of this market. I agree. I don't think the Raiders should really be here. The Panthers are an interesting case study, depending on how much you believe in Sam Darnold. I think the Jets, with four digits in plus money next to their name, also have a little bit of value at 10-1. A new rookie quarterback under a new coaching staff regime with Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur. How does that all look for the New York Jets, who ranked bottom two in both scoring, offense, and defense last year? I still think if you're looking for value in this market, Ariel, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. I could see it. It could be a 4-13 year under Urban Meyer in that first year down in Florida. I could certainly see that being the case.
The only thing that concerns me is, when was the last time that we saw the worst team in the NFL repeat as the worst team in the NFL? That's a trend that I would have to take a look at. Whereas the Eagles, on the other hand, are a team that we could see falling back in the mix. That's the only thing. It's just, can we really see the Jaguars being bad again? Deshaun Watson is the reason that this market scares me. There are teams that still need quarterbacks, whether it's potentially the Broncos, the Eagles. There are teams that could be in the mix for Watson. Can that hurt things if you want to bet these long odds? We'll see if the Watson rumors start to surface now that Rodgers is back in Green Bay. Drew Martin Betts coming up next to talk Major League Baseball. Stay here.
Congratulations.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com. Back on the morning after on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204 with Ben Stevens. I'm Ariel Epstein. As we wait for Drew Martin Betts, he did give us some of his card. We got a sneak peek. And Ben, he's going with a bunch of underdogs today. The favorites were 6-3. At the beginning of the year, they were hitting, up until the All-Star break, the favorites were hitting at about 58% in Major League Baseball. To go with an all-dog card, maybe we're going to see fate reverse from last night.
Drew's Day of the Dogs. Oftentimes when Drew Martin bets, Cabo Drew, depending on how you know him, comes on to the morning after, he looks for that plus money value because in his handicapping, he does this very, very well. He looks at the card, he sees where the plus money might call out to, and then what specific spots he can find in his matchup handicapping to find that value. It's really how trusted cappers are able to do this. They look at the matchup, they find the stats and the data they need to dive into, try to find an edge, and then they make sure it matches with a price. And at times when that plus money price differs from what they might see based on what they think the line should be, it's an area they gain an edge, and it doesn't matter it's plus money, it's good value in that component. So a Drew Day of the Dogs, if one or two of them hit, that's also a good return because all of them are plus money.
I'm excited to get his thoughts on these because yesterday Drew was part of, I don't know if any of you saw my group chat text or tweet, that my group chat, so we give out picks early in the day. And the Tobetuas part is at noon Eastern time. It's about 11:58 a.m. Eastern time. The rest of my group chat ends up going on the Royals at about, I don't know, 3, 4 p.m. Eastern time. I have already given out the White Sox. Now I'm all upset because not only is the group chat on it, Drew Martin Betts is on the Kansas City Royals. Drew, stay in your seat. I see you getting up. It's time to go to Drew Martin Betts. He's going with all dogs today. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Ariel. Thanks for having me. I'm here in Las Vegas and having a little bit of internet trouble, I believe. But, yeah, always fun to be on with you guys this morning. And, yeah, looking at some dogs tonight. So happy to get after it with you.
Okay, let's start with your favorite dog of the day. Who is the favorite bet for you?
I would probably go with the Baltimore Orioles. And the reason being, you know, Sandy Alcantara, a great pitcher in Major League Baseball. The thing is, he's coming off the bereavement list. And it's kind of a sad situation. He had a death in the family. He traveled down to the Dominican Republic. He's got a great story behind him. Comes from a big family. Obviously a really good pitcher. I just think there's a lot of question marks with him coming off of this list. The off the field kind of where his head's at right now, Ariel. And he's going up against Spencer Watkins, who, you know, is a 30th round pick from Western Oregon University. A lot of question marks out about him. The thing is, since he's been in Major League Baseball, he's had some great starts against some good lineups. He's had four appearances here. And when you look at the four lineups he's faced, it's the Angels, the Blue Jays, the White Sox, the Tampa Bay Rays here, all four good lineups, and he's done very well. Over 16 innings pitched and only given up 11 hits, a 1.65 ERA. Now he's going up against the Marlins. And when you talk about, you know, bottom lineups here, and I know Brian Anderson is back, but still, he only has this will be his third game since coming off the IL, so I wouldn't expect much from him. And the Marlins offense, you know, two guys are producing 40% of their run production this season. So I think he's able to work through this Marlins lineup. And overall, when you start looking at wide home road splits offensively, the Orioles are at the top. They hit so much better at home. So at a big plus price here, even though we're going up against one of the better pitchers in the National League, I think the Orioles here are worth a look at plus what, 125 as high as is the high watermark that I found him out. So that's what I fired away in terms of one of the underdogs on today's card.
Drew, right as you were joining the show here on TMA, Ariel was mentioning the group chat and how the group chat yesterday was on the Royals, which was not great for our best bets. Ariel liking the White Sox on the money line. I like Chicago's team total, and it seems at least one member of the group chat is back in KC in Kauffman Stadium against those very White Sox again today. Why do you like Kansas City as another underdog price, Drew?
Great question here, Ben. And when you look at Ben Keller, his last three starts, Ben, have been very, very good. He's got a 1.11 whip. And this is coming from a guy that has over a 5.8 ERA on the season. So as a sports bettor, I'm always trying to find change and then go from that point forward, because it's more difficult on the odds makers to, you know, scan over 30 MLB teams and find all the changes going on. It's much easier for them to use like full season stats there, Ben. And Brad Keller's last three starts a lot better. And the reason being is slider usage is up over 10% on the season. It's another home road splits are pretty drastic here. A lot better hitting team at home, whereas on the road, only the Colorado Rockies are worse. And the Chicago White Sox lineup, a bottom five lineup in terms of hot and cold in the last week here, Ben, and the Kansas City Royals, a top five team. So we're getting the hotter lineup and a pitcher that's pitching very, very well right now in Keller. Big plus price on the Royals at home. So that's another dog here on today's card.
Also, we're going, Drew, you have another dog here, and you're going with the Oakland Athletics at plus 130. Why are the Oakland Athletics a team as an underdog that you would ride today?
Well, Ariel, I mean, when you look at Chris Paddock, he's, you know, a lot of people know him. He came into the MLB as striking out a lot of batters. But when you look at his K rate of late, it's not very good at all. And going up against Cap, going for Oakland, a guy that's kind of riding under the radar, he's been a solid pitcher overall. And plus the fact, Paddock not going deep into games, and this Padres bullpen, they really need a relief arm. I would look for them to grab somebody here at the trade deadline. And they're going up against the Athletics, which my bullpen ratings have as the number two bullpen as of right now in MLB. So the later innings, some people would point towards the Padres having the better bullpen, at least name recognition-wise. The numbers pointing towards the Athletics here. We can get a big plus price here with the A's. And talk about hot and cold lineups right now. The last week, weighted runs created plus number here, the Padres lineup, actually the fourth coldest in Major League Baseball. So we get the better bullpen here, the hotter lineup, and actually the better starting pitcher with the plus price. I know Oakland's on the road, but still the Athletics value play here in the nightcap.
Another huge series out in the National League West gets underway today, Drew. This time up in San Francisco, it's the Dodgers and the Giants, one of the most bitter rivalries in all of Major League Baseball. The Giants, despite being at home, are the underdog. Was that enough for you to jump in on San Francisco?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're well past the All-Star break. This is not a fluke. The Giants riding under the radar, one of the most profitable teams in baseball, straight up-wise. Obviously, people not giving them enough credit here as the plus price. And you put on the hill, Logan Webb, you know, not a name that people would recognize as one of the top pitchers in MLB. But when you look at his last three starts, just over a one flat whip. His last time out against the LA Dodgers, only given up three hits. And actually his numbers against this Dodgers lineup, four hits in 10 innings this season. He has really quieted this Dodgers lineup. Add on the fact the Dodgers lineup is kind of banged up right now. We get a lot better bullpen in the later innings as well. Talk about, you know, the number two bullpen overall earlier. This is the number one bullpen by my bullpen ratings here in the San Francisco Giants. So even if Logan Webb only goes four or five innings, I wouldn't pick another bullpen in all of Major League Baseball to cover the rest. The Dodgers bullpen has definitely had their issues of late, banged up bullpen, and the fact that Urias will be facing the Giants for the fourth time this season with very mixed results all has me pointing towards the San Francisco Giants at home tonight in another late night matchup here, and a good one. You know, two of the top teams in the NL West, two of the top teams in Major League Baseball. I think the dog has some value here, Ben.
There's another dog who's a home dog today, and that's the Boston Red Sox. We're here with Drew Martin Betts from here on Sports Grid, hosting Game Live every weekend, talking about Major League Baseball card today. Boston at +110 on the FanDuel Sportsbook, hosting the Toronto Blue Jays. Why is the number one team in the American League East a home dog today, Drew?
You know, this is an interesting one. Not one that I've fired away on as of right now, Ariel, but the fact that Boston, you know, Garrett Richards, he's one of these guys where sticky stuff, you know, what's happened since June 3rd. One thing that we've noticed is Garrett Richards' spin rate is way down. And Major League Baseball has moved on this kind of information, let's call it. So that would be one thing I would look at. Plus the fact that Toronto Blue Jays, they're not striking out much since the All-Star break. I mean, this lineup is pretty potent, you know, AL MVP candidate in the middle of it. It's obviously showing in the total of 11 that offense is going to be there. I would lean towards the over here. I'm just not looking to lay a huge number against the Boston Red Sox because, as we've seen in person here, Ariel, talking about the group chat, this Boston Red Sox lineup, especially at home, can put up some crooked numbers. So a game I'm not involved in, but that's the reason I would point towards them getting a plus price here because Garrett Richards' spin rates since the sticky stuff kind of crackdown in MLB is just not as high. So that's what I think the market is moving off of.
Boston has the best record in all of the American League, the second best record in all of Major League Baseball. But like Drew alluded to, Garrett Richards was one of those pitchers who was very honest after the sticky stuff crackdown, saying, I don't know if I can do this without some of that sticky stuff to enhance his grip on the ball. But Drew, we're a couple days away from a huge moment in Major League Baseball, as it is every year, the trade deadline. And we've seen some trades happen already. We've seen even more speculated about. Who do you expect to be on the move here in the next couple of hours?
Yeah, Ben, I apologize again about the internet here on the road in Vegas. But in terms of trades, you know, one trade that came off the board to me is I'm looking to bet the Tampa Bay Rays with Nelson Cruz in the middle of their lineup. He's a guy that has near a 900 OPS in Tropicana Field. So especially the Rays at home, look at the market now, -140 here hosting the Yankees. So I have the Rays circle as kind of bet on until further notice. And sometimes that's a great way to build your bankroll, you know, just kind of bet these teams that the market is underpricing. Now, they're not at a dog price, but keep in mind how much swing and miss is in that Yankees lineup. We get the lot better bullpen with the Rays tonight. I would look towards the Rays, the hottest lineup in baseball as well. But talk about trades that really matter here. I think that the Rays getting Nelson Cruz is a big plus here.
Drew Martin Betts, catch him on In-Game Live all over the Sports Grid Network. Thank you for joining us today. But coming up next, Ben and I do have some breaking news that I want to break live here on the show. I know that Ben's been all over this story regarding the SEC and the Big 12. We're going to have our Guest the Line segment, maybe, but I think I might call an audible here and have us just talk about college football for a little bit. And then we're going to go into hour number three of our show, where we have a couple of great guests. We're going to talk some Olympic golf with David Bierman of ESPN.com. And we have Bill Krakenberger, one of the sharpest men in Las Vegas, who's going to come on the show and give us some gambling 101. Of course, we'll have our best bets of the day and Major League Baseball picks. You just heard Drew's. Just to summarize, Drew Martin Betts for his dogs of the day. He's going with Baltimore, Kansas City, San Francisco, and Oakland. Lots of plus money there. It's SiriusXM, Channel 204, the Sports Grid Network with Ben Stevens. I'm Ariel Epstein. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, closing out hour number two here on the Morning After on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204 with Ben Stevens. I'm Ariel Epstein. There is some breaking news. Now, it's something we saw coming. However, it's an updated version of this story, and that's that Oklahoma and Texas have officially requested an invitation to the membership of the SEC. Now, the SEC, their commissioner, Greg Sankey, did also release a statement officially from the SEC saying that they weren't seeking any new teams or new schools, yet they're going to vote on this, and they require that it's 14 members to extend an invitation for membership. Ben, where do you see the next step of the process going? Do you see both these teams getting in? Do you see it being majority approved? What's the next step here?
Well, I think as Sports Illustrated, Ross Dellinger reported that the SEC presidents have scheduled a meeting for Thursday. I expect in that meeting for all of them unanimously to approve the welcoming of Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC. Yes, Texas A&M, probably not happy about it, but they're not going to be the only dissenting vote, at least according to the court of public opinion. So I believe that Oklahoma and Texas will soon be allowed to join the SEC. And what really comes next, like we spoke about with Connor O'Gara, is the idea of the scheduling and the timeline of this. Texas and Oklahoma are under contractual rights with the Big 12 until 2025. However, that being said, they can certainly buy out those rights to forward this process and to move things along. So that will be the next question. The timeline for Texas and Oklahoma to leave the Big 12 and officially join the SEC. It won't be this year, but it might even be next year, Ariel, in 2022.
That's what's so crazy. This media contract isn't up until 2025, yet there is a chance that this could happen even sooner than that. We do have to say goodbye to our MSG audience. Tune into sportsgrid.com, find out which platform works best for you. We're on multiple streaming services in addition to SiriusXM Channel 204 and the Mightier 1090 out on the West Coast. With Ben Stevens, I'm Ariel Epstein. Hour three, our final hour, is coming up next. Stay right here on the grid.
We are your official source for gaming, odds, and more.
Except no substitutes.
They won't be around long anyway.